Welcome to the Leader to Leader podcast from Chime, where we bring you the top innovators in digital health leadership with your host, the President and CEO of Chime, Russ Branzell.
Hello and welcome to the Leader to Leader podcast, a Chime Foundation series where we bring you the best of the best in digital health leadership. I'm Russ Branzell, your host for this podcast and the President and CEO of Chime, the College of Healthcare Information Management Executives. We continue to live in some challenging times, to say the least, but our healthcare professionals, those industry partners, the people we all serve, are continuing to work to provide their talent and their determination as they innovate and transform their organizations to meet the challenges of today, but yet also shape our future. We're proud to know these leaders and support them here at Chime. Today, we welcome an amazing executive who's passionate about ensuring that we all have access to quality health and care. Please welcome John, I'm going to make sure I say this right, Squayo from Citrus Health. Citrus Health, I'll make sure I say that correct. John has over 27 years experience in healthcare technology, interoperability and cloud, both GCP and Azure, across health IDNs and providers, payers and life sciences. As the Senior Vice President of Provider and Health Services, John helps clients develop the whole person care solutions that enable advanced care models to improve provider situational awareness, patient engagement, education, and connected care circle for optimal support. Prior to Citrus Health, John has worked in leadership roles at Accenture, Thoric Memorial Hospital, and Vanguard Health Systems, creating technologies that enable tip-of-the-spear care model redesign and care management initiatives. He is the chair of the board for the nonprofit health charity in Chicago, caring for 5,500 members, and also featured in the Wall Street Journal in 2018. John, longtime friend, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Russ. Good to talk to you.
Well, we are without a doubt living in some crazy times. The impact of COVID-19 on consumer behavior has been just sweeping and immediate. I mean, all the way back to right out of the gate going to telemedicine, so many different things. But long before the pandemic, there was really, we've seen a change in course in healthcare. The status quo in healthcare is really becoming increasingly unsustainable out of, you know, sheer need from finances, but also consumer demand. This shift takes place. You know, what's the final catalyst of us really wanting to move to this whole new model? Is it finances? Is it consumerism? Is it we're going to finally unlock the digital front door? I'd love to hear your thoughts on where we're going. And as much as I hate the term the new normal, what do you think we're going to see?
You know, it's such an interesting journey that we've been on in the last few years. And definitely, I concur with your thinking that COVID was the catalyst. I mean, I think the big change that we saw there is pre-COVID, there was a lot of the chief marketing officers, chief patient experience officers that were proclaiming the need to really engage with consumers in an omni-channel way, both when they were in the system and also when they were healthy out of the system. And all of a sudden, COVID hit. And even people that grudgingly use their iPhones had to learn how to use it or had to find their support network through, you know, friends, family, et cetera, to be able to bridge that gap and use telehealth and also consumerism types of things for scheduling and paying bills. And so what's happened that we've seen a couple observations, and this is really a cross-section of what we're seeing with people engaging in clinical trials with pharmaceutical in payers and how people are engaging there, and of course, provider systems. The key things that we're observing as we look across those is that it's worth the investment now to invest in digital, because it used to be it was only the early engagers, the, you know, young invincibles that would use a digital technology that truly wanted an Amazon or a Netflix or a Facebook experience. But so many people have crossed the chasm due to COVID, due to having to engage digitally and learning that if even a half of them or even a quarter of them actually engage on your new platforms, all of a sudden you've got enough of a base of users to really make it sustainable. And at the same time, you know, you have people that have discovered video visits. You have people that have discovered the benefit and the convenience of asynchronous or messaging type of communication with their clinical care teams. And in doing so, it's made it very difficult for a lot of our clinical care people to be able to engage both in a virtual platform and in their clinical space. And so it's really pushing both from the supply side, from the providers to the consumers that want different things or have adopted different pieces, to have a place that's safe, that they can go to, that has the logo of your system on it, that really can drive that digital experience. It may never be as robust as an Amazon, it could be, but what's more important is that it's better than calling on the phone and sending a check in the mail. And so three things real quick. We're seeing that integrated and connected care journey across entire ecosystems. And so what does that mean? That means people in clinical trials are discovering applications that are going to bridge them from their clinical trial all the way through to their provider. And the data just ends up being with the provider magically. It's no longer isolated in silos that the patient themselves have to manage. And many different examples. Self-service has taken center stage. And so I know new normal may not be the best way to articulate this, but truly, if it's more convenient for you or say friend and family to help you engage with the healthcare system on your own time of day, maybe out of call center hours, without staying on hold, to quickly make changes and adapt your schedule, isn't that better? And I think people have woken up and said, give us the power and we're going to do that. At the same time, of course, they go to a different provider. If that provider doesn't have their information, they can quickly bring it up on their phone and show. And that's really an empowering thing. The third thing I think is omnichannel. And that really means that no matter what someone's comfortable using, whether that's fax or email or phone or the digital app, whatever we design, let's make sure and make it human-centered. Let's make sure that we meet them where they're at to be able to put that information in and then give them that full experience so that they don't have to adapt all at once. But I would say it's here to stay, Russ.
Wow. Well, it was interesting because in just your answer there, you in the same, almost in the same sentences, you mentioned small and local and personal, and then you also mentioned some of the giants out there in tech. And there seems to be this, I don't know if it's a conflict, a coopetition, a convergence, whatever it is, because you've got Alphabet and Amazon and Google and Microsoft and Apple, and you just keep on going letters. I mean, even as we're recording this session right now, today is the day we have the new owner of Twitter, which who would have ever thought that happened, that Elon Musk would be his self-proclaimed title, the chief twit, which I thought was kind of funny. These new players, what do you think, John? Are they here to stay? Or are they going to do their kind of jump in, jump out thing? Or are they really the disruptors that we've been waiting for to really disrupt our industry?
Yeah, you know, it's such a great point. Now, I think the one distinction between an Alphabet, Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, AWS, the list goes on, Google, is that they are ambitious and they're bold and they're okay to fail fast. Of course, their core business model is not saving lives. And therefore, they do have a culture of fail fast and fail frequently and to innovate, which is totally different than the culture that's driven by the Hippocratic Oath of first do no harm. So they do have an advantage in that regard, that it's not going against the grain or the DNA to really experiment. So when we think about it, there really is kind of a different ways that these organizations have engaged. Some have failed fast and they've pivoted and then they've come back in. So I don't think that trend's going to change. I think they're here to stay until they see major changes and then they can benefit their own business models from that. When we really look and observe what's happened in the last few years, at least from my lens and from what I've gathered from other, you know, really people, smart people that are super close to this stuff, Apple and Microsoft have taken a foundational approach, and that is, let's create long-lasting foundational hubs of capabilities and data and information. They've not done much consumer experience level stuff, and I'll delineate that with Apple because there might be an interesting distinction. So with Apple, what they've done is infrastructure. When you look at Apple HealthKit, it is much, much more about being able to aggregate data from the payers, from your providers, and that's a plural, right? The many providers that may have diverse types of data repositories and EMRs. Same with payers. Sometimes your job changes or your company changes insurance carriers, and you're going to get more diversity there. And then what they've done is they've done an aggregator play. And then they are slowly introducing interesting use cases where you can use that Apple Health Kit to engage in your daily life. But at the end of the day, it's tapping into that longitudinal health record that they're collecting. I would count that as a foundational capability, and it makes sense. And it's taking advantage of this whole, you know, cascade of the 21st Century Cures Act and unlocking that data of price transparency that's being driven from the No Surprises Act and the CCA, and presenting that to the consumer so they can make wise choices. The EMRs opening up their APIs so that you can truly engage with real scheduling via these apps. And so, you know, so kudos to the EMR organizations as well. And then we think of some of the others you mentioned, Amazon and Alphabet. Alphabet, interesting portion of Google, you know, the mother company, right? A lot of the companies that they're investing in, we've seen, take Verily, for instance, trying to incorporate a total care model kind of carve out for a certain cohort of patients to alleviate that burden off of having to do that invention at the payer level, and also to bring economies of scale and true, you know, ecosystem-driven types of investment there, where a number startup may not get the kind of traction. So there's that. And then Amazon, you know, I mean, it seems like Amazon does, you know, engages with our lives so well that we kind of forget that there's technology there. You know, just people are looking on their Alexa every day to see if a package arrived, and people are asking the weather. It's becoming so ubiquitous that it would not be surprising to start getting appointment reminders as almost like a platform rollout without having to even request it or set that up. So we'll see where that goes. But all of these have the one common thread that I don't think they're leaving. I think they're looking for their niche, and they're looking in areas where I think they're pretty certain that health systems are not making big bets.
Well, it's funny you mentioned it. You used the word several times, ecosystem. And, you know, if you look at the traditional ecosystem that even you and I worked in, you know, you could call it the grand castle of a health system. It was built around a large hospital or a community hospital, and everything kind of revolved around that. And even whether you're cybersecurity focused or just my responsibility focused, there was this, you know, concept of the imaginary wall around a health system. I basically knew where my responsibilities started and stopped, but that's all come tumbling down. There's so many different words you can use right now, and consumerism and virtual care and patient in the home and patient on the mobility, human on the mobility. I mean, there's just so many things you could do. You know, what do you think this means for the future of, I mean, you could say a health system, but you could also even say healthcare at a macro level, with the fact that it's now the ecosystem is everybody everywhere.
Oh my gosh. That's, yeah, we're noticing the same thing. And I think even as patients, we might be noticing the same thing. Three, you know, observations tend to come to the surface in many conversations that I personally have with CXOs and a lot of my associates do, you know, as we share different ideas. One is, doctors will be known by their digital presence. And it's, you know, traditionally you've been known by word of mouth or referrals from your own, you know, network that you might have with primary care, and or being part of a very, you know, renowned type of health system or surgery center. And it seems now that a lot of users are bypassing that traditional discovery method to find a doctor and going to Google, going to their own network, and more importantly, going to some of these apps that are becoming prevalent that are aggregating information. And that might be the central discovery place for a doctor. And it may be not even start with the doctor's name. It may be starting with what the doctor, as a subject matter expert in their field, is describing, and kind of leaving a breadcrumb trail in that whole discovery with the person to finally get an appointment with them. So it's truly a marketing approach, and it's truly an entirely digitally driven experience to lead that person to get the care they need. Pros and cons of that, right? The cons is that it's very difficult for a lot of our existing medical staff to adapt to. The pros is we might act, people might actually find the care they need even quicker with less friction. Also, patients will no longer be treated as strangers, which is a thesis that I think we've all wanted to derive at. What does that mean? That means the dreaded form every time we go to a to the doctor's office or sit in any pre-encounter type of scenario. We've got to tell them almost everything about our demographics and psychographics and sociographics and everything, our behavior again and again and again. And same with when we get on, call our insurance company, there's an entire interrogation about there to ensure that we've gotten the right person, the right encounter. And then if we get transferred, then we have to start all over and we're treated as strangers. And I think that what's going to happen is the technology is going to backfill that experience to where it'll become seamless to a lot of people and they won't need to do that anymore and will be get integrated into their practice. And the last trend that just seems to be, as you say, the walls come crumbling down, is these factories of care, which have traditionally been large integrated, vertically integrated delivery networks, they're becoming decoupled, in, at least at the experience layer. So while we still can have large IDNs, driving economies of scale and rationalize types of service lines so that we can really get efficiency, the experience itself may be decoupled between when you're inpatient, when you're outpatient, and when you're staying at home, because the technology itself is going to tie the activities and the data together and facilitate that. So not sure if that sounds right to you and that's been your observation, but that's some of the key threads that we've been seeing.
Well, that is. And that, again, I mean, you're setting this up for you. It's a little easy. This is softball here right now. So, you even mentioned the consumer's journey and really health systems for the first time are using that term. And I mean, ubiquitously, that is being used all the time. It isn't the patient, which the only time I'm a patient, when I'm in a hospital, in a clinic, in a lab, in a whatever, that's when I'm a patient, which just represents such a fraction of my time, but I'm always a consumer. I'm always a human being. So from what you're seeing now is, as we've kind of built this thread of thought here through this time together, What would you recommend? I mean, this is what you all do. What would you recommend for these health system leaders, for whether it be our digital leaders or CEOs, CMOs, all the different C's out there, if they really are approaching this from a consumeristic viewpoint, what's a couple things you would recommend?
Yeah, this is both consuming this new and adapting to this new brave new world is really both a personal journey and a professional journey. I think personally, it's really important that every one of us actually go to one of these apps, and some of the most prevalent ones is like Apple Health. And if you're an Apple user if you're a Google Android user, there's other ones out there on the Google Play Store, and actually engage. Download a couple and pull up your insurance company and pull up your doctor's MyChart or patient portal and download your app. Download your information and see what these things can do. That's one personal challenge I kind of ask a lot of my colleagues to do. And I kind of show my phone and say, look, I'm doing it. And it is interesting because then you start to learn as a person how it can actually benefit your life. And then also the things that don't seem right, which is really great. Because when you talk to consultants or you talk to your colleagues who maybe have already taken part of this digital journey, then you really have a conversation and a good baseline on which to say, you know what, this worked great. I'm loving this. What are these other features? Do you think those are a benefit? It's going to get you, I think, to what you can prioritize, what you'll get behind more, and it'll get the conversation going. But taking a step out of personal and getting to what can you do, kind of preparing yourself professionally, or even taking it a step further and moving up the value stack is, I would approach this from a rapid prototyping perspective. Definitely not, let's take the plunge. I think there's a lot of archetypes out there that you can look across, some health systems that have really gone deep and made huge investments. Many of these have both a payer arm and a delivery arm. They've got really integrated experience. In other words, if the patient picks up their phone and they go to that organization's app, they don't know if it's connected to the patient portal or the member portal. it's an integrated experience of scheduling and bill pay and how much deductible they have left and the doctors. And people are engaging. There's one provider system that I've heard of that has 80% engagement on that capability, which is just, you know, very surprising. I think that also this is where just partners can help, because when you think about it, if you getting that kind of cross-pollinated best practice of what's working in some places and what's working in others gives you many options. And then you have to come up kind of with a way to filter down, working with your other stakeholders, your chief marketing officer, your chief experience officer, patient officer, your CMO, and all the other key stakeholders that have a lens of what great looks like, to be able to prioritize what product will come out of the endeavor. And then you can kind of define what success looks like in horizon 1, 2, and then 3. And then you can go for some quick wins based on that. And the quick wins is what gets everybody rallying, excited, and then encourage them to download and take the personal journey. And that just gets the whole catalyst going.
Well, I know you and the rest of your peers at Cities Tech believe in this concept of innovation. You truly care about that as a core tenet. What's one of those short or quick wins in this space of transformation, innovation? Gets a little buzzwordy again, but what's a quick win that you just think people ought to just go get, whether that's something about consumerism or unlocking the front door or whatever the case may be? Kind of give us an idea of a quick win people should really look for.
Well, this may sound extremely lowly, you know, not very sophisticated, but somehow systems don't have online bill pay to the level where it's just a click away. And it's amazing the take up that we've seen in patient direct patient collections by people being able to use Apple Pay, or people being able to use that cashed credit card backfill feature on their website or their iPhone. And they tend to, and then having some kind of a trigger coming through SMS text saying they owe the money, and a single click away. That seems to be a very interesting, beneficial way to increase your revenue that then fuels more innovation. So if there's a quickest win, that might be one of them. As you go kind of up the value chain, things like, you know, bidirectional, scheduling is just so incredibly important. Just knowing where you are with your prior authorizations and if those have been granted, so that then it'll remind you to go ahead now. Hey, it's authorized. Make sure and show up for that appointment, or it's time to schedule an appointment. So these little reminders and nudges are quick wins. A lot of that infrastructure already exists in our EMRs to be able to push that out. And now we just have to get it in front of the consumer. The key here is that understanding that a consumer's journey may be outside of your health system. So it is interesting to engage to make sure that if they're going to go for a CAT scan somewhere else that's not in your IDN, that they still go, even if you're not collecting revenue on it, because they're going to get that image. And of course, your physicians are the ones that are waiting to take the further action on it. And so it's a holistic ecosystem approach, thinking beyond our four walls, beyond our systems of record, to be able to ensure that our patients are getting the best of care and that they'll still come back in their care journey.
Well, two more quick questions as our time is getting ready to close up here. And this is going to be more very personal about you. You know, you've lived on both sides of the equation here, and that is you've been in the provider world and where you've had leadership in IT roles and digital health roles, and now you're in the supplier side or the commercial market, whatever word you want to use. Even some people use the V word, the big vendor word sometimes. You know, one, what makes that unique about, you know, you and other people that do that, where you can have those perspectives? You know, what makes that a great equation for somebody trying to drive transformation right now and help customers out there do that?
Well, the first one I can say is the support network and having the friends from both sides. And this may sound, this may sound interesting in that I still keep up a lot of my Chime network, right? And just hear from some of the best minds on the inside, CIOs, CDOs that just really think deeply about this stuff every day. They're failing fast. They're fast forwarding with their innovations, and that you can cross pollinate. And there's such a great network that does that. And the same time on the kind of consulting and vendor side, we have the same type of network that trades what's working, what's not. Of course, the market adjusts to those types of sensing and input very quickly. When you can stitch all that together, then you can really become a cross-pollinator and connector. And that's what's been exciting for me, kind of coming from health systems and going into this realm where I can operate between providers and payers and life sciences, because so much of the information needs to be consumed by all. They all need integration and interoperability, and they're all doing it for the patient's best outcomes. And particularly with value-based care, it's becoming critical for organizations to be able to link all that together in kind of a connective tissue. So, you know, when we think about it, it's also exciting to be able, in addition to creating those insights, also to have the experience of knowing where the big boulders are. And so when we have people that are kind of giving art of the possible, you know, you can do this, it's the greatest thing from sliced bread and it's going to solve all your problems. It's also very good to be kind of entrenched and know that, you know, we've seen this movie before. There's a few big boulders here. Let's de-risk this project. Let's definitely move something forward that's going to be very innovative. At the same time, let's also embed some pragmatic controls in there. And that mix together has shown very, very successful results. And that's what keeps us going and so engaged.
So you mentioned that, keeping up with your peers, but you've also been a lifelong learner. You're a graduate of our boot camp. You have one of our certifications. But, you know, and a lot of people have done those along the years. You have got such a great personal story that touched not just our faculties, but even some of our students, because we tell the story of a personal family. If you wouldn't mind sharing that, it still to this day touches my heart, kind of the connection we all made with your family.
Yeah, you know, hopefully even over audio, you can tell I'm smiling ear to ear. And it's just such a touching story. And frankly, what I love is that you are part of this, a key part of it. And so, what happened here, I think you're talking about is I was in the Chime boot camp for CHCIO. And I told my daughter, who is on the autism spectrum, that, you know, hey, dad's going to come back to school and for a week here. And she asked, well, what do you mean? What about your teachers? Tell me about them. I said, well, it's kind of hard to describe. And it's very hard to describe to someone that's depending on where they are on the autism spectrum. I said, why don't we do a project? So she got out her Legos. We started building little Legos and I started teaching her some of the personas of the different people. And literally, you know, I think that the staff with the faculty at the time, they did definitely have distinct personas, the one in my, that were the faculty. And so I said, you know what, why don't we do this? So I ordered some Lego characters that were 3D printed off of eBay, ones that was a cowboy, another one was a rock star. And also we got 3D heads printed from all their LinkedIn photos and created this project where we did together of all the teachers, and she could start to understand how they were teaching and what they were doing in her own kind of kinetic way. And so I thought, you know what, I think I'll bring this to Russ at the Chime Fall Forum a number of years ago. Well, what resulted from that, in addition to a lot of laughs and kind of, you know, also very, very, just great bonding. You, Russ, I'll never forget, you sent out a honorary certificate, CHCIO graduate certificate in my daughter's name from having done this. And she still has it displayed in her showcase and just was touched by it. So I want to thank you for that.
Well, I will tell you that still is one of the most touching stories we've ever heard. And I know you shared part of it even during the boot camp. And boot camp is a bit of an emotional experience for some, but it really was for us. And it was just a great experience. I still have all those little Lego figures. I don't get them out and play with them very often, but it's kind of weird playing with a bunch of Chime boot camp faculty Legos. But it really does is a testament to you and who you are. And a special thank you for all you've done for Chime for so many years. Now with your current company with Citius, we truly believe y'all are great partners. We greatly appreciate all you're doing in the industry to help so many people get where they need to be, which is exactly what we talked about today. John, thanks for being on the program.
Thank you, Russ. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
And also thank you all of you for listening to this podcast and of our Chime Leader to Leader program as well. You can listen to us on Spotify and chimecentral.org/media for this and all of our podcasts from great top healthcare leaders. Please continue to innovate, transform, and create that positive change we've all talked about where we need to advance. And yes, I'll even use the term revolutionize healthcare for the people we serve. For now, stay safe and God bless.